All right, this is Randalicious, and welcome to the 54th Hexes podcast. We know that Dead Man is going to be starting soon, but this is just the way that it is. Due to scheduling, this is what time was available for all of us. So, 54th Hexes podcast, let's get it going. I'm Randalicious, and I'm the leader of Hexes.
I'm Aubrey, Brown Star.
I'm Jonas. I'm your stepmom's favorite level 3 skiller.
I'm When I Doubt, a 2 banana and Hexes.
I'm Squall. I'm also 2 bananas. First time.
I'm Quaffle 8. I'm your stepdad's favorite level 3 skiller.
Go ahead. yep, I'm a level 3 skiller that's still not maxed in the current year. I don't know what else to say, really. I'm 2 banana and Hexes. So, yeah. If you have any questions, you can slide through my DMs on Twitter. That's it.
I'm One Eyed Owl, max player in RuneScape. I like skilling and pet hunting.
What kind of pets do you have?
A variety, skilling pets, boss pets. They're just trying to go for all pets, all 35 of them. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm really nervous. I don't have my inhaler right now.
Alright. I'm Squall. I'm a P mod. Got my level. I've been playing at least like 10 years. I maxed on RS3 in 2009 and came back for old school, and I like it. And I maxed there in 2016 and still going.
All right, so Jinj just wanted to make an announcement for everyone. He is Jinj is going to be the Fantasy EHP Commissioner, and Fantasy EHP Season 2 will be beginning soon. We have a tentative date scheduled for the draft to be during the weekend of April 15th or 16th. Anyone who is interested in being a manager of a team, we're looking for around 10 people, should contact Jinj either in-game or on Twitter at JinjBino_high. Hexus members definitely have the priority. However, members of the public will also be considered if they are someone we deem reliable to make it throughout the entire 3 or so month season. So Fantasy EHP officially making its return. Looking at updates for the game, you know, a bunch of new faces on here. Tell us about some of the quality of life updates that you most enjoyed over the last few weeks or few months. Owl.
Yes, Dad. Favorite quality of life update? I don't know, man. I'd say the runecrafting one, where you don't break your pouches at 99 anymore.
The buff?
I mean, it's a buff. It just, I don't know, man. It just makes it a little less tedious. I have to agree with the Reddit nerds on this one.
I would say probably right-click NPC contact to contact the last NPC that you contacted, because it's actually quality of life, and it's something that I wanted to see for a while.
What does that help out with?
It helps out if you don't have 99 RC, or like you're using NPC contact to repair pouches, which is kind of too late for me, but I still think it's a great update.
Like, I don't know why this is even a question. Like, it's obviously the Gangnam Style and Hotline Bling emotes. So, yeah.
Stole my thunder, yeah. Thanks.
What are those?
So, yeah.
You haven't seen people dicking around doing that in the game? Getting it on?
Nah. Is that an update they actually made, or
it's an update they actually made. Yeah, it came out with the the birthday event.
Oh right, yeah, the Party Pete thing.
Yeah.
All right. I think I like the the RC update was pretty good, but I like the construction one where they added the money bag for the servant and the hotkeys for the interface. I mean, that's a buff also, like direct buff, but it's really nice. I got trained some construction recently, and like, you barely have to move your mouse anymore. It's amazing.
Yeah, people should be very thankful for what the skill has become. Back in my day, it was much more difficult. Much more difficult.
What rank are you again?
Rank one. The high scores will tell you rank one.
Yeah, but the planks went up a lot though when the update came. But I, they went back down eventually, so it's all good.
My favorite quality of life update would have to be tied between the increased GE history and the able to save your bank pin across hopping.
Oh, I would strongly recommend not using that.
I have a good reason why I think it's not bad.
Because you're stupid, Quaffle.
That's half of it. But
that is a fair enough excuse. What's the other half?
I assume they're using the same system to keep track of your saved authenticator. So when it saves it to your computer for 30 days, probably using a similar system to save your computer ID between the bank pin.
I thought that was being done based off your IP, not your...
It says it's IP plus your computer ID. So if they can spoof your IP, that's not impossible. And it's not even that hard, but it's very hard to get, like, your computer's unique ID, especially since it changes pretty often.
What is it? Is it, like, your MAC address or something?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's some kind of thing they generate every time you, like, join the game. So it's kind of like your PID time. Or something. It's, like, close to your PID or something.
But yeah, it's probably more secure than we initially thought, if it's checking more than just IP.
Because I've never heard of a case where someone's two-step authenticator got bypassed by just spoofing their computer before.
They never really had a reason to try to do that before.
Yeah, there's easier ways to get around it.
I don't know. Favorite quality life update for me. This might be the second or third time we've answered this, and this might be the second or third different answer that I've given. But shift-click drop, I like. It's made a lot of things much nicer, specifically two-tick wood cutting. Maybe I'll actually consider doing that at some point now. Alright. We have had a lot of names being released over the last week or two. I think it's been 2 weeks. What were your guys' favorite highlights from the first 2 weeks of names being released? And did you get any cool names that you wanted? If you didn't, what names were you trying to get? Tell us about your experience with the names.
I didn't actually try to get any names. I haven't really been keeping up with it at all.
Yeah, me neither. I'm absolutely satisfied with my name and have no desire in getting a new name for my alts or buying or selling any names.
Squall.
Yeah, whoops. I try to get Crowd and my name, Cody, when the C's came out, but I didn't really care to like trying anything else because I got the name I have, Squall, from like a name release like pretty long time ago, and it's like one of the names I wanted the most. So if I can't get Cloud or Cody, then I'm probably not gonna go for anything else.
Very nice. It's confidential information. So yeah, I got names. The ones I went for, mostly. Shout out to my boy in the chat, Adorable. Yeah, GP were made. That's all I gotta say.
Jonas, you're a name seller previously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you do have a pretty unique name, and before you had Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. I've always been into names, I guess. So that's why I don't really want to talk about it too much. But yeah, it was, it's been like a weird release. I don't know why they decided to release one letter at a time. Like, they did in 2014, where they released batches with like A, B, C one day, D, E, F the next. Like, that's much more conventional for the players. Because when you release one letter at a day, you can just imagine how many players and or bots that go for the same name. I don't think that's fair. But now they release two letters occasionally. So, yeah. It could have been a lot better than it is, but, you know, it is what it is.
I thought there were a lot of great things that happened, whether it be the site going down numerous times, almost every day, pretty much. the fact that they forgot to announce it, the first batch of it, like they announced it like 10 minutes after it had already been opened up. that I thought was pretty funny. I think it's been interesting that they've been banning some the name Agility bounced around on like 5 or 6 accounts before it was finally on an account they deemed not a hoarder. So I think stuff like that has been interesting to watch. I've tried getting 3 names. Only 2 of them were released. I tried getting Future, which the name didn't get released. I tried getting DS2, which is Future's best album. And I didn't get that name. And Evil, EVOL, Future's second best album, I was able to get that name. So I'm pretty happy about that. I'm not going to try getting any other names. But I think it's good that they're coming out with these releases. You know, I mean, apparently a lot of bots and whatnot are the ones that are getting most of these names. But I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that are getting perhaps not as desirable names, but getting names that they want and that they really appreciate having. So I think the name release is good, but they've done not so great of a job with releasing it. Alright, so the Inferno, you guys, let's talk about the dev blog here, but first, everything that is currently being pulled is passing, and it's passing quite well. I think the Cape, however, is the only one that there's I think it's at like 78% or something like that, but pretty much everything.
Yeah, 78.
Everything that's being pulled is going to be coming out. So, what do you guys think about, you know, JAD 2 as a whole? How good of content do you think this is going to be?
It sounds pretty good to me. I guess it's kind of nice that they're trying to build a city around the Inferno and not make it just a standalone piece of content, though I think that it could have functioned fine as a standalone. I hope that the city feels lively enough, since they only pulled like 2 pieces of actual content in the city other than the Inferno. But the Inferno is the main attraction, and I think that it will be pretty good. I like the idea of a harder wave-based challenge that is up to date with the stuff we have access to nowadays, as far as gear and whatnot.
I agree. Even if, like, they had to offer no rewards in order to make it pass, I'd still be fine with that. Like, it just offers a new challenge, and it'd be an interesting piece of content even without the rewards. The cape might be, I think it's, like, double the strength bonus of the fire cape. So yeah. Slayer gets even faster. which is fine with me. You know, I'm not a peer, so I don't care about the obsidian. I don't know if people are going to complain about that, but the content of the update itself, I don't have any complaints about it. It'll be a good challenge and a good expansion into the city of the Tzar.
Yeah, I'm pretty fine with the content of the update as well. Not a huge fan of how they're like shoving it down our throats before it was pulled. How they do like a 6-hour stream of them designing stuff under the guise of, oh, people need to see what it looks like before they vote on it. Like, I wouldn't spend like 6 hours working on content that could potentially fail. It sounds like they had previously mapped out a lot of it as well before pulling it.
Yeah. I gotta agree with Squall and Aubrey on the aspect of the whole update, and also I think the cape and the whole thing pretty much is like the 07 version of the Tukar call on RS3, like they have this other fight cave version on RS3 too. Yeah, the kiln.
Fight kiln?
Yeah, I think it's like in the same ballpark. So it'll be interesting to see how it ends up being the final result.
Alright, I like the update as a whole. I like that it, you know, thankfully Ghost was redesigning what it looked like. You know, I wish that I had the link for the original JAD 2 design, you know, with it having its arms out, flailing around like in a, like looking like a fucking propeller. That's the good stuff, man.
Yeah, I got this in Discord.
Posted it in the chat.
You want to post that to
Twitch? It is incredible. Holy shit! Holy shit! Man, that will never not be funny. Fuck. Alright. I like it. I like that it's going to be probably scaled towards the level of gear that we have now. I mean, you got people doing fight caves in 23, 24 minutes now. It's I think that it's a good update to add something like this in. And I think that this is a good quality update that isn't devaluing a whole lot of what's currently in the game, but it's adding a great piece of content. Like, this is something that any person that wants best in slot attack, anything really, is gonna have to do, and it's going to apparently be difficult. So I like it. It's a good idea. Great on them. Although I think it's interesting that it initially failed a poll before, but now it's got much more support, and I wonder what the reason behind that is.
True. Overall, I think it's a good update. It's nice because the original fight caves is so nostalgic, and then for it to get a, say, prequel fight cave or a JAD 2 is, I don't know, it's cool. You know, because fight caves, it's been, I don't know, unique piece of content because of all the waves, like Aubrey mentioned earlier, and wave-based PVM content. And I gotta agree with Randy as well. It doesn't devalue anything. Might give you +1 strength bonus, might, you know, make, you know, melee a little faster, but that's about it. Overall, I think it's a pretty decent update. And I'm looking forward to it as a PVMer. It'll prove as a good challenge for us PVMers to see whether we're worthy of the Inferno or not.
Would you guys prefer JAD 2 the way that the it was originally designed, or the way that it's about to be coming out? I don't know if you guys had the opportunity to see the design stream that Ghost was doing.
When was
this? I haven't seen it.
The recent one?
It was on Thursday during the Q&A for 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was pretty decent, I guess. What did he change, though? Were there any changes, or...?
He made the 360 version in a 360 mob in like the Inferno style.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, if it's supposed to be, you know, more tougher looking and more difficult than the original 360, then I think he did a pretty good job, unless I'm missing something.
What do you guys think the kind of like the gameplay is going to be like for killing this stuff? Like, do you think they'll maybe be like demonic gorillas where you're having to switch attack styles and prayers?
Oh, yes. Or... Yeah, definitely.
I also saw some like art posted on Reddit or something somewhere that looked like NPCs that we haven't seen before. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of new NPCs they introduce.
Yeah, my guess is it'll be a mix of like harder versions of the existing fight case monsters and maybe a few entirely new ones. Like they're probably going to have the like double hard Jad type of wave like the Kiln did.
How does a double Jad wave work?
I think in Kiln you could save spot one of them or something.
Yeah.
There was a little 2 squares by 1 square like blockage in the middle of the floor that you could trap one Jad on while you solo the other one.
But even if you don't have anything to save spot on, it's not very difficult to pray flick both the Jads at the same time if you offset their hits. One attacks, you know, and like every 2 ticks, and you could just, or every 1 and 3 ticks, or 1 and 2 ticks actually, you could just switch prayers and still tank both Jets, range and mage ticks.
I think it'll be real interesting to see what they do with the dynamics of killing it.
I mean, overall, I hope it's going to be I hope it's going to be mechanical, like a bunch of mechanics, different tactics, different, I don't know, combat styles. Not that you just blow pipe right through it, you know, at least, you know, it's somewhat of a challenge, you know. I don't feel like blow pipe, rigor, and void, whatever, is really a challenge. I like it if you had, you know, mage stuff, melee stuff, range stuff, maybe different spells, ancient spells, maybe lunar spells, even, who knows.
Kieran mentioned that water spells would probably be useful against them.
Yeah, because, like, the whole bizarre thing, lava.
Does ice count as water? What?
That's a good question.
I would assume so. It's basically frozen water, so.
Never
panic by water runes.
Never assume. Alright. One of the changes that they made with Jad was moving it from Zaya to the Tsar's City. You know, this kind of goes back to Aubrey talking about it being standalone, but then changing it into an expansion. What do you guys think about the change from Zaya to Tsar?
So I really don't get the necessary reason to change it from Zaya to Tsar. I know a lot of people think it makes...
Or I'm sorry, do you like it in Zaya better?
I didn't necessarily like it more. I don't think it makes any more sense in the Tsar City than it does in Zaya. Like, they make the lore. They already had to mess with the Tsar lore to add it in there. They could have just added lore to make it work in Zaya. And the biggest thing I think why it fit in Zaya maybe a little bit more was because Zaya was already pulled with having like a Tsar city in it.
Yep.
Yeah, and that passed the poll.
Glad you commented on that. Sorry, keep going.
No, that's really all I had to say, just that Zaya is supposed to have a Tsar city, like, as it was pulled with, and I guess removing that is now something we're doing.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that, the pull with the Tsar city, but I mean, I saw the picture of them, they're gonna add it to, like, the left side of the Lobakang area, which I guess makes sense, because it was like a fire and brimstone area, kind of. But I also understand the point that the players had when they said, you know, like, there's an actual area in the game, the Tsar, where you get stopped at a gate, and there's a guy that tells you you're not allowed to access, you know, the next part of the city. So at least they have, like, an excuse to put something there now and put some lore behind it. I mean, I don't mind either way, I just care, you know, if the content is good. I'm not a big lore fan. But, yeah, I don't care either way. Desire is nice.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, I don't really care where it's located, but I haven't really read much into it. But I don't see why they would remove it from Zaya, because Zaya is, like, empty enough as it is. Wouldn't it be a nice addition to implement something like this into Zaya to, like, fill it up or something?
Yeah, I mean, they've got so much space there, and they don't
Yeah, so I don't see their logic behind removing it from...
Their logic is just to listen to the Reddit. Reddit's the one who you need to be questioning.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it being on Zaya, especially since, yeah, it was pulled. Quaplex, so you got the post here, the Keelum and the Tosca Hall. The city of Keelum is an ancient city located in a dormant volcano. Only the strongest and most agile players will be able to enter the city. High strength and agility will be a requirement to make your way into the remains of the volcano and to access the city. Kareem is home to an incredibly strong ancient race that has never before been seen in RuneScape, the Tascahal. The Tascahal are born and bred guardians and slayers who aim to maintain balance of life and death, embracing death as a part of life. One of the ways in which the Tascahal keep balance and control is by assigning slayer targets to players. Players will be able to assign incredibly challenging tasks and will see a new slayer task and equipment made available as a result of taking tasks through the Tascahal. And in the Tascahal will be a new Jad 2. Well, this was obviously before they came out with Boss Slayer. You know, I know that we mentioned this on a podcast way back, that they pretty much added in the updates for this prior to it even coming out. But yeah, I think it's disappointing. You know, I'd like to go back and look at the original Zaya dev blog. You know, the first one that they put out. You know, going back to their RuneFest 2014, where they made that huge announcement about it, and see how much of that came out and how accurate it ended up being. That, I think, would be something very interesting to go back and see. I think that it was much better placed in Zaya than Zar City.
Word.
I actually really like the fact that Jad 2 is in the Zar City. Just lore-wise, makes so much more sense. And the whole thing about filling up Zaya, you know, there will be way more updates and suggestions and pieces of content that can fill up Zaya. And the whole Carolum and Tisakal thing, it can still be added, but just without the Inferno. There's no reason for there not to be a second Zar race on Zaya, but without the Inferno and Jad 2 and all that.
What would be the reason? What would be the reason for adding it then, if Jad 2 was one of the big things with it, and they've already released the Boss Slayer that would come with it?
And the city additions, like the thieving and the fishing or whatever.
I guess. I don't know, man. Jagex is weird.
One other thing is, they already designed this city. Like, they already mapped it out in completion. Here's a picture of it.
I mean, it can still be, I mean, yeah. I get your point.
So, like, it's done, but they're just not adding it anymore.
I mean, maybe it could still be added with a different piece of content. I mean, maybe we could have the same stuff from the new extended Zar City and still have it in Brimstone.
Volcano rooftop agility.
Oh, yeah.
I bet Archie'd be on that one.
Overall, I like the whole locating into the Zar City. It just lore-wise makes more sense, in my opinion, and I'm, you know, quite into the whole RuneScape lore. I've also studied the Tsar language, so...
See, if lore is your problem, they can just edit it. They could say, the core of Gilinor runs so deep that these creatures are from the very core themselves, where the Tsar are from, and that easily fixes the lore. Like, they design the lore, they can make it work.
Yeah, I think they had lore, or like early on in Zaya's design, that made all of this make sense to be on Zaya, and then like they just listened to Reddit when they were screaming about it. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, people are always complaining about how there's not enough content on Zaya, and then when they try to add more content on Zaya, then they scream about that too.
I think people wanted something familiar, and that was why they begged for it to be there.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Also, One Eyed Owl, aren't you that guy that did all the gnome quests while studying the ancient gnome language?
Oh, yeah, I'm an avid learner of the ancient gnome language. I did all the gnome quests without using the translation book. Big fan of the ancient RuneScape languages.
Props.
Thanks, dude.
Alright, what is your guys' opinion on the new thieving method that they're planning on coming out with? Said to be less XP per hour than RD Knights, but much, much better GP an hour. So, go ahead.
I feel it's a weird thing to even ask, because they say it's less XP, but more GP, but they don't actually give numbers. We know the XP per hour of RD Knights, so we know the GP per hour of RD Knights. Why can't they give us actual numbers?
Yeah,
like, it'll be much easier to vote on.
I think numbers wise, maybe like 200k XP an hour and like a mil GP an hour would maybe be a fair thing.
A mil?
750k? I don't know. I mean,
like like 400k. AFK is shit.
Think about how mindless RD Knights are, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think the real question is, like, how do you do them with your foot?
Come on, dude.
I'm not expecting it to be
like that.
No, but like, I think the really question is, can you like block these things into a door, and can you do it with your foot? Because if you can do it with your foot, it shouldn't be a mil an hour.
There's no way they're going to design it to be like that.
I mean, they didn't design RD Knights to be like that either, though. We just like found a way to do it.
Ooh.
I think a little bit more highly of the mods now than back in 2000 and whenever it came out.
I hope it's like that. It's not like RD Knights. If you actually have to like watch the screen, it'll be mil an hour is fine.
From my insider information, you're going to like use a bucket of water on these things, and it'll freeze them, and you can steal from them for a set period.
So it can be like blackjacking?
Yeah, think blackjacking, but with like a bucket of water, putting it on a fucking inferno-y little guy.
And then that sounds cool.
That actually does sound cool.
Inside information, baby.
Much better than get this knight stuck behind a door and set up a pedal with your foot and don't look at the screen for the next 2 months.
Guilty.
If it was the same APM as blackjacking, I think it should be fine to be a mil an hour. But yeah. It's going to give gems and tackle, it says. So if a lot of people are doing it, it's just going to make gems crash to like nothing. So it's not really going to be consistent.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the money will go down over time, for sure.
And crafting is going to become like fucking 1 GP per XP if emeralds drop enough.
All right. They come out with that eternal, what's its net?
Binding necklace?
Yeah. Sorry, Squall, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll make it 200k XP an hour. I think
less.
It might even be like under 100k, if I know.
I don't think there's any way it'd be that low. I think that they understand that it wouldn't be content worth adding at that point.
They didn't understand that about the Zora scale fishing. That's still dead. As long as it's like less than 200k XP an hour and less than 500k GP an hour. Or if it was like at those exact rates, then it'd be okay. Anything higher in like either GP or XP, I'd probably be a little worried. Unless it was like not AFK.
Yeah, I don't really pay much attention to it since, you know, we will never train thieving again, 200 mil gang. But it seems interesting, gang. Like the aspect of it, though, It would indeed suit the non-alt using moralists and perhaps Iron Man. If it is a result of what Jagex is saying with the ratio of GP to XP profits, it would be interesting to see if it was an optional approach for Iron Man or non-alt using moralists. So yeah. That's it.
All right, Aubrey, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends what the rates are for it, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, I just wish we had a little bit more numbers to be able to more accurately put together our thoughts and opinions on it. Sorry, Owl.
Oh, no problem, man. Yeah, I don't really care too much about the new thieving update. Thieving can't even be more devalued than it's already been with Arty Knights as a, person that's part of the 200 mil thieving gang. Having done Arty Knights till 200 mil, thieving can't get any easier. I generally use my foot and played Xbox whilst I did 200 mil thieving. All I at this point care about is, I don't know, whether they'll make the raccoon more
the racket?
Common. Or, I mean, the racket? Just, I don't know.
You know it's pronounced, be honest, you know it's pronounced racket, right?
Racket. I don't know, man. I'm foreign. English isn't
I understand. I understand you're foreign. I just don't want you, making a fool of yourself in front of everyone. It's pronounced racket. It's pronounced racket.
I appreciate it. Great leader. Overall, I don't care too much, man. Like, Arty Knights already ruined thieving anyway. I only care about the balancing of the reckon.
Yes!
Got it!
Alright, so the Infernal Eels are going to be approximately 35k fishing an hour, and you open them up, you crack them open for a chance to get an Onyx Bolt Tip, Lava Scaler, maybe even some tackle. To me, this kind of seems a lot like Zolra scale fishing, but what do you guys think about this as an update?
I'm not sure. If it'll end up like Zolra scale fishing, I don't know if it'll even be relevant content or it might just die like right after without any, I don't know, balancing. I don't know, man. I mean, I'll support it if you can 3-tick the Infernal Eels. Otherwise, it'd be pretty crap. Yeah, I don't know. Same thing with the thieving update. I just worry about the balancing of the Heron Pet.
Yeah, I guess that's something that they probably should really think about.
Mm-hmm. Some of us go really dry on scaling pets.
I don't really think that this is a real quality thing. I mean, this to me just seems like something that they're adding in just to add in, so it doesn't look like there's nothing being added. I don't think mm-hmm. that much is really going to come from this. And just the question I got, the 1 hour finale, that just started right now, right? Is that what that was, or do they still have a few hours left of that? Anyone know?
Sure. I think it just began.
It begins in 11 minutes, I think. But they're doing like the intro stuff now.
No, I mean like the final hour. Is that all their streaming is the 1 hour?
Does anyone know how long the final hour is?
It'll be from 3 to 4. Yeah.
What's 4?
I mean, well, that's my time. 11 minutes. In 11 minutes, it will then be 1 hour long.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, maybe we'll be done by then. Maybe we won't. We'll see. But, yeah, for me, the Infernal Eels, it just kind of seems like not great content that's just being added so it doesn't... Just so there's more content in general.
Yeah, I think it's kind of odd. It just seems like they should update the Zolra fishing thing first, but... Because, like, doesn't Zolra fishing have quite a few high recs? Like, you need Regicide done to even go there.
What does it
have? Like, you need Ice Gloves, which you don't even need to do any quest to actually get. You need that...
Kill the queen.
Yeah, you need that lava rod, right? But you can get that without any quests as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and it's 80 fishing, which is lower requirement than the eels.
So it sounds like it's like better XP per hour and GP per hour, and it's AFK because you never have to bank, because they stack. Which is, doesn't seem like the best balancing, but whatever.
More profitable monkfish, maybe?
Yeah, actually, I think part of the Q&A I did watch on Thursday, they were comparing it to monkfish. Like, I mean, that's what they wanted to compare it to.
I think that monkfish are a pretty balanced fishing method, and I think it's pretty good. So I guess if they can try to make it as much as they can to monkfish, you know, I mean, obviously 35K, I think you get a little bit more than that. Monkfish are like 40K, 45K, maybe. I don't really know. Anyone know XP?
I have no idea.
I mean, if they're supposed to be balanced around monkfish being less XP but much more GP, I don't think that that's bad at all.
Yeah.
35K should be fine. As long as it's... I mean, it'll probably be pretty AFK. And maybe it'll reduce the price of making anti-fire potions for herbivore XP because of the lava scales.
Yeah, the extended ones.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, I agree with Randy and Squall. It's like an alternative option for monkfish. Filler update.
Filler, that's probably the word I was looking for. I like that.
Yeah,
it sounds fairly uninteresting, though I worry that they'll make them so slow to catch and like high XP per catch that they'll be like approaching 5-minute AFK, kind of like Redwoods.
Like Redwood here, yeah.
Yeah, it's just shitty. Like, no matter how slow it is, I think content like that is just terrible. If it's not like that, then that's good. But also, if you can 3-take these fish, then mathematically the rate would be like 80 to 90k per hour, and if they like they give Onyx Bolt tips, lava skills, and tackle, so they could end up being pretty high profit per hour for pretty high fishing rate also, depending on, you know, how it bounces out.
All right, what are your guys' opinion on the new Czar monsters and obsidian armor that they're coming out with?
I think the Czar monsters they've shown so far, the Inferno Jad and the Inferno 360 look pretty cool. And the armor, like the set itself seems kind of dumb, but I think like the legs are a good alternative to people who are poor, I guess, and they can't afford tassets.
How much strength bonus does it give? Is it one?
Like one or two. Plus very one. Small amount.
What do tassets give? I forgot.
Plus two.
Two.
Oh, okay.
I think the obsidian armor should be fine. And the monsters, I mean, they only showed the thing that Ghost did on stream on Thursday, right? The kill monsters, basically. I mean, just one of them, actually, or two. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll do a good job. I'm not really worried. And I don't really care what they look like either. It's just like an extra bonus if they look pretty good. And the obsidian armor, I mean, I've never made like a pure or anything before with 60 defense, but if those rewards are passing in the poll, then I guess most people aren't worried about it and think it'd be a good addition, so I'll allow it.
Have we really seen many monsters so far?
Nah, just Jad 2 and the 360 so far.
Okay. As far as the armor, is that going to make it, like, is it going to be worth it to, like, take your Zerker up to 60 def now? Or not?
Nah, definitely not. Absolutely not.
It'd be relatively expensive pieces of armor, too. So, like, I can't imagine wearing three pieces of obsidian armor. And then also your obsidian weapon, and probably, like, a Zerker necklace.
But then you would just PK on Skull.
Yeah, but that's a great addition to PKing scene.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess you'd still have to risk your obby mob, but what's that, like 200k or something?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be pretty dead content, the armor. I guess just the plate legs and... plate legs.
Because the helm is the same really strength as a Nezzy.
Yeah, and like you can get a torso really easily with better strength than the plate body.
So would I just... I mean, no, never mind. I'll keep it till my... till it's my turn.
Go ahead and interject if you want.
I mean, maybe I wasn't paying attention because I'm doing a really click-intensive content right now in RuneScape. But like the 10% strength bonus boost for obsidian weapons when you wear the full set been brought up? Or because if you wear all three pieces, like the Berserker necklace, it'll give you like a set effect on obsidian weapons. So if you were to have the full set, the helm, the plate body, and the legs on top of a Berserker necklace and a obby model, then that would greatly increase your max hit. And that's my concern for, you know, PKing when it comes to like obby tanks.
Yeah, it's adding a new kind of account.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's like a, it's a really good update for the alternative defense pure account builds, but pretty much dead content for the majority of players, I would say.
Sounds like a good update, but any kind of PKing that involves not scalling is usually just like not the best kind of PKing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I doubt someone's going to want to risk full obby with a necklace and a weapon.
Yeah, but it depends. It would be good for the training part of the account.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
It would increase the DPS, yeah.
So the PKing, I would imagine, would still be the same, but the training aspect and the XP ratio of skills, they would increase slightly. So, it's a good update. But
the obby sword is the best DPS obsidian weapon, right? Just for like training.
Yeah, I think kinda so.
Similar to like Dragon Scimitar, I think. Wonder how much DPS that will be with the full set and the
I think
necklace.
It's more equal to the rune item, the rune skill.
Oh, really?
Interesting. All right. Owl, did you say what you wanted to say on this one?
I guess I'm going to quickly recap it again. I think the Tsar monsters are cool, because I remember way back when I used to safe spot the Tsar monsters, you know, with range behind the little lava pool thingies. You know, occasionally get a obby cape, obby shield, you know, obby maul, make a little profit. I think it'll be cool, depending on how strong these Tsar monsters are. If it could be decent, like, I don't know, money-making for low-medium levels, maybe for pures or, you know, just low levels in general, trying to train that range, maybe it could make profit depending on the prices of the armor, of course. Overall, I like it. I just hope that the armor doesn't look, you know, too hard, RuneScape 3-ish. I hope they keep it, you know, in line with the other obsidian items, you know, the cape and the shield. Overall, the only complaint is the PKing aspect, the whole non-sculling thing with, you know, full set and optimal Berserker necklace, but I'm not a PKer currently, so it's not really something for me to worry about.
Yep.
Alright, so everything gear-wise has been dropping a lot recently, whether it be like Ancestral, Ellie, Kodai Wand, shit, you name it. It's been dropping. Have you got...
just a bow.
Oh, yeah, the bow has also dropped quite a bit.
A little bit.
Oh, just...
get a bump back up.
Like, you know, 200-300 mil.
No big deal.
Have you guys lost any money on any of this stuff due to crashing? If so, how much? And if you haven't, what do you think about everything dropping in price?
I probably have, but I haven't really been paying attention to the prices. I just have like Bandos, I'll have like max strength Slayer gear and the Spectral. I sold my Arcane when it was like 80 something mil, which kind of makes me want to die. But yeah, I guess I'm glad that Ancestral and Kodai wand is dropping, since I'll need those for Slayer, and they're expensive as shit. At least they were. I don't even know what they're at now.
Let me take a look and update you on it. Alright, in the meantime, I will take it away.
I've lost about, like, a bill on Wraith items.
Bill.
Wow. What do you have, bill. Like, three tits of bows?
I mean, I have pretty much everything, that includes the prayers as well. Like, I bought Rigor and Augury. When they were rather expensive, and I bought the bow for like $1,250. The Ancestral I bought for a decent price. I'm not quite sure on, you know, like claws and bulwark. I forgot I just bought them because they had the money at stake in life. I mean, I'm not too fussed about it. You know, I buy these stuff to buy these items to PVM with, and you know, once I buy them, I have them, and I don't look, you know, at their prices anymore. They have no value to me except, yeah, they have no price value except for, you know, PVMing. So I'm not too fussed about, you know, one bill loss. I'll make that money back PVMing again.
Whew. Must be nice to not be too concerned about a bill.
I mean, you know, I'll just buy some sets. If you guys are selling sets, PVM game.
Alright, so for me, I had some Ancestral, then it dropped a little bit, and then I dumped it while it was in the process. Ended up losing like 40, 50 mil or something like that. But then I recently rebought it earlier this week, and like the top and bottom have gone up about 30 or so mil since I bought it. So I guess I haven't really lost much money, but I think it's very interesting to see everything dropping down in price the way that it has, without really much of an explanation, it would seem.
My opinion on it is, I don't really pay much attention to it, but I've seen the Reddit nerds cry about it, and they blame the point system in the raids that people were abusing. Is that a factor in the price drop?
Perhaps? They say it's not, but I don't know.
Yeah, they released that graph, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like the rate of release of Twisted Bows since release, and nothing changed.
I mean, it skyrocketed when Zulu uploaded that video.
Yeah.
Them doing, it's just like perceived value.
Yeah, just like the Ellie's perceived value before. Holy fuck. Owl, did you have an Ellie too?
I didn't actually, because it's kind of useless.
It could have been worse. Yeah. It could have been
exactly,
worse.
Exactly. Yeah, because, like, you know, DPS all the way. But I've considered buying an Ellie again, but not PVMing currently, so I'll see what happens. The price. I think I bought it for $550 at the time, sold it back for $500, so didn't make too much of a loss on that.
Alright, I done a little bit of flipping while all that stuff was going on. I lost 16 mil on 4 Dragon Warhammers. I was like, there's no way it could go from 80 mil to 71 mil and then continue going down. And the next day they were 67 mil and I panic sold and then they went back up. But I kind of made them, I made like 13 mil like overnight on them like 2 days later. So I pretty much made the money back. And I don't have any raids items at all. I was thinking about getting a Kodai one when they were like 58 mil. That's like the lowest they've been, and I didn't. And now it's 72 mil, so maybe I should have.
Oh my, is it really?
Yeah, right now it's 72.
It's pretty cheap, dude.
You okay, Randy?
I rebought shit up like a week ago, and apparently that was at its absolute lowest point. So I had no idea that's like 15 mil then that I've gained on the code I want. This is pleasantly surprising. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. A lot of stuff kind of rebounded. They're not like quite as high as they used to be, but yeah. And the raids in the last update, they said they fixed that like abusing thing with where if you have a ton of people in raids, like you get more items, something like that. There's something that people were abusing, and they fixed it. So everyone automatically was like, "Oh, people are gonna be able to get less items in raids now." So the price shot up of like claws and ancestral and stuff.
I bought up the price of all of that stuff after they when they said that they were going to be making a change to the way that people scaled raids, because that again to me goes back to the perceived value. It was perceived that items were coming into the game much more quickly than what they were before. So I think that raids scaling being changed is the reason why we're seeing Ancestral go up 40 mil from what it was a week ago, and Kodai Wand up 15 mil. So, yeah, it's... I definitely am happy that's going up right after I buy it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't lost any money myself on gear, but I have some friends who have lost like close to a bill from Twisted Bow with Nelly and stuff. I was like seeing like what Jonah said. Oh, like it goes on a little bit. Where do people point the finger? Oh, is it people at first are going, "Oh, there's a duping glitch maybe? People can dupe with raids." And no, but it doesn't change the fact that the perceived value goes down. You just talk about it like that enough and it will go down in price.
Yeah. See Dragon Bones 2015, 2016. All right. Player design content is something that we haven't seen in a while, and is something that the mods, at least that I've talked to, is not something that they really want to explore much at all. I've liked some of the player design content that we've had coming out. You know, what do you think about the player design content, and is player design content stuff that you would like to see in the future?
Yeah, sure. I'm open to it as long as the idea is good, you know. We should be able to have an avenue for people to suggest whatever they want, and the community, aka Reddit, will either vote it to visibility, or if it's a bad idea, it'll never get that far. Although, I mean, actually, I shouldn't say that. A lot of bad ideas get to the top. But usually, if it's a bad idea, it'll fail a poll if it ever gets that far. And if it's a good idea, then it'll pass, like Rooftops and the new Zaya. I mean, it's not exactly like that guy Gentle Tractor, like, redesigned it as on that ridiculously popular Reddit post, but it encouraged, like, Mod West to redesign it, and a lot of people like it. So if it's good, then... sure.
Yeah, I think so too. Obviously, you know, the designed content of Big Red Japan was a success, so they should at least, you know, give it a shot and see if it passes an eventual poll. I haven't seen them do that. They should definitely seek out some players who would like to design some content and maybe, you know, see what they can do. Because it's only been a success in the past. The only example I can come up with right now is Rooftops. But, you know, if it's not good content, it won't pass a poll. So I don't know why they haven't done anything. But, you know, it's Jagex we're talking about here.
Hold on. Breaking news. Weth has just unblocked me on Twitter. I have been blocked by Weth for 2.5 years, and I have just been unblocked. Holy crap.
Easy.
Congrats.
Nice, dude.
Oh, I cannot wait to start. Like, I know you guys have seen me tweet out shit like, someone tweet Weth this, someone tweet Weth that. It is time. I've got the power and resources now. All these motherfuckers at the shop. Snooker, Lelou.
Snooker.
All the, you ain't safe no more.
I'm on your end, saving your ass.
A rip. Anyway, as I was saying, I have mixed feelings about player design content. You know, in the past, they were good. You know, rooftops, motorload mine, those sort of ones that come to mind, as far as I can think of. Those have been good, in my opinion, rather balanced. You know, good piece of content back when players actually cared about, you know, somewhat cared about the integrity of the game. But I feel like nowadays it's just the PDC is just an excuse to, you know, put really overpowered content into the game. You know, like, I don't know, the Reddit nerds will design some content making, I don't know, agility like 90k XP an hour because it's too slow, and not just, you know, for the sake of having a decent, like, you know, scaling method or, you know, whatever you could think of. I don't know. I hope that if they focus on PDC again, they might at least, you know, consider, you know, ignoring the overpowered stuff and not just, you know, give in to Reddit. Yeah. I don't know,
that,
man.
For that, give in to Reddit, I think there's been a lot of... Contrary to popular belief, there are a lot of very intelligent people on Reddit who have great minds and great ideas. And I think that something that I've kind of been disappointed in, you know, going back, I think since Corp came out at the end of 2015, we've started to see a shift in the way that updates come out, where I think prior to that, it was literally what the players wanted, they did and made for us. Since Corp, it's kind of been, here's what we want to do. Do you, the players, approve of it? You know, and I think it's really moved in a direction of their agenda, of it being more so of their agenda for what they want, and if we approve of it, than the other way around. And I really like the way that updates were implemented the first year and a half. Much more so than what they have been the last 2.5 years or so.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just...
For me, I think it was, you know, we talked about this before, actually. It wasn't necessarily Corp. It was like Achievement Diaries. After Achievement Diaries, it then started going in another direction. But
yeah, I realize that now that you said that. It's kind of... makes me feel bad.
I'm sorry.
So, like, I agree with that pretty heavily. But yeah. I also feel like... So, the only two actual player design content competitions they've had have been the one which resulted in the rooftops and the MLM.
They did, but if you think also about... have... do not forget the... fuck! Artisan! There it was.
Oh, yeah, that was technically pulled on... Yeah, like, whoa, choose a skill. It just didn't pass.
Yeah, but all of those skills were player design content.
Yeah, yeah. So those are all, like, the competitions themselves. And I agree with what you said, like, all the big content updates post-diaries around have been basically their ideas, and they pull it to us. But if you think about everything between those content updates, that's pretty much just the highly uploaded post on Reddit. So, like, Silver Jewelry... That's player design content. That was not even thought of by mods at all. Skill cape perks, that's player design content. Every single quality of life, I mean, quality of life in quotes, has been player design content. And I, like, looking at all of those, I really don't want more content by the players.
Mm.
I don't think we need another Silver Jewelry update, which is a tiny little thing, which turns into a 10k increase in Slayer experience.
I think silver jewelry was a good update. It just shouldn't have been added on the bracelets for Slayer. It just shouldn't have happened. Otherwise, I think it would have been okay.
It's just like an oversight. Like, it was one big bundled thing. They added it in one big poll. And then you got a bunch of small consequences that people didn't realize.
Yeah.
Like, what I dislike about stuff like that is, you know, once an update like that hits, and they find out about, you know, that increasing Slayer XP so much, they don't even address it. They don't even mention it. It's like, it's like they don't want to address it. Like, they know, obviously they know, but it's like, oh, guys, whatever, let's just, you know, keep the XP rates high, and you know, whatever, it makes people happy. But, I mean, it's just Jagex, you know, always not wanting to admit their mistakes. Like, you could have then and there, on the first day that that Silver Jewel released, you could have maybe, I don't know, like, disabled, you know, Slaughter and whatever the other base it is, and it would have, you know, not impacted Slayer as much, and then maybe redesigned those two bracelets. That's the one thing I really dislike about Jagex, and now it's already been like a month or so, and we're way too deep into using those bracelets for Slayer, and no changes will be made ever.
Way too deep.
Way too deep.
Going back to the PDC, I think that it's definitely a good thing to have the option open for, you know, good player design suggestions to be pulled. I think that MLM was kind of shit, and the rooftops are a good idea, but were implemented pretty poorly just because the team size at the time, the animations are really terrible and that kind of thing.
How about the
and Artie is just Alcarat. A terrible course in general. It looks so bad, and like the broomstick shit and whatever it's called, Canifus.
You there's that one where you like hold the like you use your teeth to hold on to that
that's an upgrade. That's adapted from the wolf course. Yeah. Which actually is an actual like, course from a long time
you've
ago.
You've got two perfectly capable hands, why aren't you using them?
It looks cooler, dude. If it looks cooler, you get more XP.
I don't know. All right. What would be a skilling method in pre-EOC or RS3 that you would be intrigued by seeing on old school that would actually be balanced at this moment in the game?
Penguins.
Fuck penguins.
Really?
Shooting stars.
Quickly penguins. Let's go.
Yeah. No, thank you.
It's balanced.
Oh. No, it's not.
It's not. It's the event. Come on, dude.
It's just a shitty weekly that completely ruins certain skills for certain account builds and makes everybody have to do some dumb task every week and get free XP and skills they don't like.
You just want to train Slayer, Jonas. This isn't even for the community.
Soul Wars then, homie.
That's your level 3 skiller talking, Jonas.
Soul Wars is just stupid bonus XP and involves summoning, and they'd have to completely rebuild a minigame that already exists, and they never want to do that.
I want to AFK for like an hour and get some experience in a skill that I can't train.
Penguins and Soul
Wars. I wonder if Reddit is Jonas is a Reddit nerd. I don't know, man.
Alright.
I don't know if I'm going to be a friend anymore.
We need to kind of dive in and figure out what makes someone a Reddit nerd. Is it someone that what is the criteria?
Anyone I don't like.
Okay.
So it depends on
who you are for who a Reddit nerd is.
I mean, in general, it's just, if you're shit at the game, you're a Reddit nerd.
If you're in the majority, you're a Reddit nerd.
Level 70s who are very adamant that they're like knowledgeable about the game and make serious posts when they've played the game for like 100 hours or something.
Exactly, like.
Sounds like.
I don't know, man.
Perfect description of Jonas.
I mean, they shit on high levels and like get all mad that high levels don't want certain content when.
Okay, you're kind of.
Most likely high levels know better.
Come on, dude.
The same type of people that vote no to higher level updates because they don't have the time to get there.
Yeah.
If you don't have the time, don't play such a grindy game. Way more games out there, dude.
Come on, dude. Why you had to roast me for penguins?
You're level 3, dude.
Yeah, I can't believe any level 3 would want penguins.
I swear to God, dude.
Quaffles.
Dude,
weigh in on this. Dude. Weigh in on this.
I don't want any update that is made for me. Like, I'm someone who's shooting myself in the foot. Game updates should not be made for me. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I don't like... I don't want this team to spend any time on my account.
Okay.
It's like the difference between you two are night and day.
I mean, I think it's mostly because I never played RS3, so I never had penguins or anything to translate with. Okay. And so I don't want the meta to be changed to be forced myself to do that. Because if it came out, I would do it.
Okay. On a serious note, it would be awesome if it's too late now, but if they implemented the skilling aspect of dungeoneering into raids. For example, there were fishing and woodcutting skilling in dungeoneering that had pretty nice XP rates. That's like an actual good way of training woodcutting and fishing. It would be pretty dope to see if they could implement that into raids. I don't know. Might be an unpopular opinion, but
yeah. C2 fishing and woodcutting was completely unintentional, and they didn't want to be good training to do dungeoneering.
But if they wanted to, if they intentionally added it to the raids, they could have balanced it out. It would have been
But I think they didn't want people to do raids to get, you know, to do just skilling, that they would just sit in those skilling rooms and not actually complete the raid. They wanted raids for just raids, I guess.
Fair enough.
I'm not 100% sure. I just know that I wouldn't want anything that's a daily or a monthly or weekly. Like, even if it's like once every hour, where, you know, realistically you could do it on that hour, it's still, like, I don't even want even like a hint of that in the game. Might be like a slippery slope to create, you know, mini game dailies and stuff. So I'd probably say like Grenwall and Paria hunting, those things. I mean, I don't know
what those are. I've never played RS3.
The hunting thing? It's just, they're just higher level hunter monsters.
What do you catch?
I mean, they're not monsters. They were in like the Elf City to begin with, but then they made like a private hunting area and stuff and made them kind of OP with other spells. But yeah, I mean, you have to use like a papaya fruit to catch like the paria, and then to catch a Grenwall, you have to use the paria thing. I mean, like, it's really good XP, but, you know, you have to, like, actually spend
money. Is
it,
like, net trapping or box traps or what?
Box traps. But, I mean, okay. I guess it wouldn't matter what traps they make in 07 for their own personal content to make for it. But, yeah, I mean, like, hunting that actually involves bait that's not extremely easy to get or that actually is required to use.
Or stackable or something, unlike, because there's bait in 07. It just doesn't, it's not stackable, so there's no point in using it.
Yeah.
And you can bring, like, spicy red meat chunks to Chinchampas and bank every 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, maybe they should make something that's actually worth it to bring bait. And don't maybe leak. It'll be, like, an item sink in the game.
Don't like, leak the Hexus method, Quaffle.
I think you can smoke your box traps, too, can't you?
I actually used to do that.
Smart, I think Modash confirmed on Twitter that literally does not. No, it does. Just the camouflage outfits do nothing. I'm not sure about the smoking, though.
There is some downtime if you're doing good 3-tick hunter at red.
When I did birds, I noticed a difference with smoking. So, like, low-level hunter, smoking actually feels like it does something.
Especially since you're sitting there waiting, so you may as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. For me, I really enjoyed the herblore habitat in pre-UC. Maybe not the fire-making portion of it, but the hunter and the farming was really cool. I like the potions you could make from it. I like that it was untradeable, and like the Jadinkos were higher XP per hour, but no profit. So they were reasonably balanced. And there was an extra fruit tree patch also.
Also approve of the gear, the
The witch game. Doctor?
Yeah.
It didn't really do anything, did it? The mask just teleported you there.
Yeah, but it might have been a massive impact.
On what?
On the hunter part. And also the ease of access to the area. Because you had to... It was RNG-based to get the outfit parts or the pieces.
Yeah.
And I know that it was in some way beneficial to have the full set. I don't know if
maybe,
it was...
Maybe it gave you like higher chance of getting more herbs or catching or something. I don't think it was huge, though.
No, it was minimalistic, but it had like a benefit to having like the full outfit. I don't know if we have enough outfits on 07 already, but I was just curious too if you would have.
I used to wear that mask all the time.
With the mask, that was a cool mask. That was one of my favorite items previously.
Yeah, same.
Witch Doctor mask?
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think Great Orb Project was pretty cool too. Like, I would actually not mind seeing Master Runecrafter robes come in the game somehow, if they took a comparable amount of time, like they took like 50 or 60 hours to get from Great Orb Project, I think.
Explain that to me, talk, and to other people that aren't familiar with that. What's the Master Runecraft robes? What do they do? How do you get them?
They were just 2.5% bonus runecrafting robes, but they took like a really long time to get. And Great Orb Project, I don't really remember exactly the mechanics of Great Orb Project, but it was like a free-to-play accessible runecrafting minigame where you like go to all the different altars and you're like pushing around orbs with different sticks and trying to get them into the altar or something. I don't know. I remember it being kind of cool.
How much time, given RuneCrafting's XP per hour, how much time would a 2.5% save?
Well, 5 mil XP off 200 mil is like, I don't know, 80 hours maybe? Somewhere around there.
Also, a very nice Fashionscape addition.
Yeah. I used to rock that shit on my pure. I don't really have any opinions on pre-OC skilling, as pre-OC I only PK'd and did PVM. I knew of some of the dungeoneer methods, some of the weeklies, but all in all, I have no opinion on pre-OC skilling. I can't even think of any from the top of my head, except the overpowered ones, you know, bonfires, ivy, living rock caverns. Oh, that jazz.
I mean, we got redwoods now, which is like an upgraded version of the ivies.
Oh god.
It's go winter Todd. It's just as AFK and more XP an hour, and also profitable. And ivies were just simply AFK with a 60k an hour. So redwoods is like an upgraded version of the ivies.
Hmm. I don't know. Didn't skill much previously.
Alright. What do you guys think about the old school team making so many changes to Motherload Mine to make it essentially AFK?
I just think it's kind of odd. Like, when it came to the game, what was it, like 35k an hour maybe?
40
if you have like the Vera plate, right? Or no, the Faldor shield.
That wasn't out when it came out, though.
Okay, yeah, so. It wasn't very fast. That's the point. And at the time, mining at granite was like 60k an hour, right? Because we didn't know about 3-ticking.
Yeah.
And now, what MLM is like 55k an hour.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's awesome. I love it.
It's like what they've done to Slayer, but with MLM. A bunch of tiny little updates that increase it by marginal over time. It adds up.
There's just one update I really miss. Still craving that one update.
Yeah, fuck MLM. Shit. They should delete it.
Like,
dude, Motherload is fantastic, dude. It is. I love it.
The only thing that makes mining not perfect.
It's a good piece of content.
It's too fast now. Should have stayed like 35k an hour.
Yeah, I thought it made sense at like 40k an hour, a little lower. It was like you sacrifice half the experience to gain profit and like 10 times more AFK.
Keep it as it is. It's balanced right now, dude. It's 55k XP, 500k GP, and like really AFK, so it's really good.
It's not balanced at all.
That sounds really good, but not really balanced.
I mean, I'm using it for the time being.
Especially looking at blast mining in comparison, because that's like 70k an hour, right? And like 800k an hour GP or something. So I thought that was supposed to be like the in-between between like not completely AFK, but still some profit and some
Blast, XP. The blast mining is like you sacrifice the ability to AFK for more increase in GP. Yeah.
Yeah, now they just give that to MLM for free.
Yeah. So
what are they gonna do? Up blast mining now to make it closer to 3-tick mining? Like put it to 100k an hour and increase the GP per hour to like 1.2 mil an hour?
I dare you to ask Archie that question.
All right. Let's see.
Who even is this?
Well, I like the load. Yeah. I like updates to the load. It's a good piece of content. I don't really think that they need to make any more adjustments to it, though. I think it may be perfect now how it is, especially with adding in the bigger sack. I think they've made at least 4 or 5 separate individual updates to the load since it came out.
And wasn't it 3 updates to the load in 1 week last time?
With
the sack, the timer above, and something else, I swear. Maybe it was just 2.
Well, they've done that. They've added the other, like the top layer. They added more spots to the lower layer.
Falbor shield.
Oh, yeah.
Mining cape, kind of.
Yeah, the perk.
I mean, there's just one update I'd really like to see, and that's the sound effect of mining a pay dirt and actually depleting a vein. Because they're both the same now. It would be really nice if the pay dirt, or either one of them, had their sound effect change. Preferably the depleting the vein, because right now you don't really know whether you've mined a pay dirt or you've actually stopped mining as a whole. So that's something I've been trying to get the J mods to do.
So you can really like to know when.
Hell yeah! I mean,
you should have like a living rock section where you can AFK for even longer.
Man, I deserve this. I've been really dry on the mining pet.
It's just a game called RS3 where you can like AFK every skill for.
If you're really dry on the mining pet, you can always try out gem mining.
I've already done 17 mil at gem mining. I'm not going back there. It's terrible.
I got the mining pet on the alt after 30k XP.
Okay, Randy. Okay, man. Stop, dude. About to rage quit halfway through the podcast.
Alright, so let's take a look at this next topic that we have here. It was a post on Reddit by the guy who designed the Monkey Madness 2 login screen. He has apparently been waiting 10 months for his prize. And there have been many other similar instances to this that we've seen to where someone has won something and they've not received it. You know, take a look at like the dude who designed the mouse pads and shit. You know, I'll even throw this in there. In 2013, I bought a premium membership package and I was supposed to get a free t-shirt with it. And I redeemed the voucher and I didn't get my t-shirt. What do you think about these many, many instances of players being promised a prize or reward for something and seemingly being ignored?
It's incredibly unprofessional. Like, they really need to sort this out and like work out a better system at Jagex to make sure that these things get done. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say, but that really, it's just pure unprofessional of such a big game a game company, so to say, that, and also that the one individual who was promised a prize, he was actually having a conversation with Ronan on Twitter, and was promised the prize, and he got stood up even after he was in touch with Ronan on DMs on Twitter and stuff like that. It kind of seems that they intentionally are doing it, but they're trying to cover their ass by saying, you know, the shipments went wrong or some shit like that. But it's just laziness and unprofessionality on Jagex's part. It's super sketchy, dude. I don't know what else to say.
And, you know, we were promised adjustments to our statue after winning the 2015 Skilling Cup, which didn't end until 2016. And I had a big email. Congratulations, you have won. What do you want us to do with your statue? And I fucking told them. Not a thing came out of that. Like, what the fuck, man?
Meanwhile, they design a rot pet.
Man, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was in Jed's spare time. When he was, you know, just starting at Jagex, and he was just...
But it was during the same time.
Exactly, but I mean, maybe that wasn't part of his job. Yeah. You know, maybe that wasn't on his task list. Thing for him to do. Like, I don't know. It's, like Aubrey said, it's incredibly unprofessional. Like, a company of this size and with a, you know, running history like this, shit like this shouldn't happen. It's bad, dude. It just makes me, I don't know, it's just really bad. And I don't know who's in charge of it, maybe Ronan, but I mean, if you're in charge of something like this, you know, it's something that should be on your mind all the time, like maybe on your task list or something until you've finished, and not, you know, have someone wait for so many months.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Also, just as a side note, it's so that you're pretty much required to get attention on a Reddit post to get the actual problem solved. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, how, like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's super unprofessional. Why?
And like it's not even a big job. You just have to send someone a package. You just have to, I don't know, put it in a box or wrap it or whatever it is, bring it to the post office and just mail it and you're done. It's legitimately like a 15-minute job at most. And I don't know how you can fuck up something. But he's too busy making memes and shit. Like, I don't know what he's hired for, making memes or actually working, and I don't know, as a community manager. I don't even know if he's still the community manager or whatever his fucking job is. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, just Jagex, man.
I feel bad for that guy for not getting his prize.
I do. Like, I mean, he should at least deserve some recognition, and it takes the guy forever, and I think he even made multiple Reddit posts.
Yeah, he did.
It's just sad. Poor guy. He should add me, I'll give him 10 mil.
I'll add you.
No.
Hey, it's me, his brother.
Do you want to go bowling?
Alright, let's, alright, quickly here then. If you guys go back, start RuneScape day one with the knowledge you have now, what would you have done differently?
I would have seen if, like, tick manipulation worked back then, like, for mining and stuff. Because I don't even know if it would have or not. That would have been interesting.
Yeah. Of course, use the 3 tick methods earlier. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. But, you know, all the methods and the things... the player base, and also shout out to Hexes for finding the two-tick woodcutting method. You know, stuff like that. We would start using that stuff from day one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I would have just changed the skills that I definitely wouldn't have maxed. I think that I probably would have taken the route of getting 200 mil thieving from the start, and then you know, after experiencing the arty roofs and how little devalued agility has been in 4 years, I probably would have done 200. Like, I would have done 200 mil agility. I like it.
Yeah, if I went back and was like the same person I am now, I would totally go for rank one mining.
Yeah. That would have been interesting to see you and Acid using the same methods at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, if it was that time, I was still in high school then, so I didn't have that much free time, but, like, the old school launch just fast-forwarded, then I guess the ideal time would have been, like, last year for me, because I'm busier this year than I was then, but it would have been an interesting race.
I really wouldn't know what I'd do different. There is so many things with so many different aspects of the game they could have done different back then, whether it be skilling or maybe PKing or maybe even, you know, flipping. If you have, you know, the exact knowledge of now, I don't know. Might be a little too unrealistic because, like, you know, predicting the future and shit with No, actually, you know what? Fuck it. If I could go back in time, I would probably buy like a million Zura teleports.
Oh my god!
Sell them at 45k.
Yeah, true.
That's the only thing.
You could have 200 mil all sorted so easily.
I could have 200 mil all on like 3 accounts sorted.
If I could go back in time and start from day one, I would start from day one because I started 2 years after the release. And so if I could just had known the game was out, because I didn't know about RuneScape really, if I could just have started when it came out, I feel like I'd have just that alone would be good for me.
Was your first experience with RuneScape old school?
I played like a few days back in 2007, but that's about it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like most players that people, I mean, most people that play RuneScape are from, you know, usually like pre-OC. I haven't really met any new people that actually started playing RuneScape because of old school.
And my friend was into like pre-UFC and stuff, and he played throughout, and then he was like, oh, I play old school RuneScape, you should try it sometime. And that's when I started.
That's interesting.
Where do you think you would be now if you would have started at the beginning?
I'd probably have a 1 or 2k more EHP under my belt. But knowing that the rates were lesser known then, I probably, it wouldn't be as, like, my best year wouldn't be comparable to my rates when the game first came out.
Yeah. Alright. The Dead Man Tournament is about to be ending here, so I'd like to kind of wrap up and be able to watch the 10 minutes of it to see how how poorly or how well it is.
Will it be the first good one?
From what I've been reading from the CC, it's been rather epic. No. I think Rod has pulled out some crazy strats. I don't know. I'll be watching it back in a bit.
So let's just quickly talk about what we've all been up to during the podcast when we and get it wrapped up. What's everyone been up to?
I've just been runecrafting.
What's your runecrafting XP at?
62 mil. I've hardly even played in the past week.
You're developing a game?
Yeah.
Tell us about that a little bit.
It's a like retro style 2D dungeon crawler type of deal. It's kind of inspired by like a little bit inspired by like old Zelda games and but I want to have more of like a leveling system and be a little bit more open, like not just follow a single storyline.
Okay.
But yeah, still in really early stages.
Yeah. What I've been up to now on the actual podcast is I've been hunting started Hunter yesterday after I completed 100 mil woodcutting. And also, I set every level 3 XP record in woodcutting during that time. So yeah, I've been just doing darts while doing Hunter. So yeah.
I've just been running the roofs, 25 mil XP right now. Yesterday, I started slaying a little bit. That lasted for only about an hour and a half, two hours maybe. I really don't like Slayer. I really like Agility. We'll see what the future holds.
During the podcast, I've been doing Murder Load Mine. Reason being is currently what I'm working on for, you know, just my RuneScape goals and my future goals, and what I have in mind is currently going for all pets. It has its reasons. Don't want to go too much into detail. Currently I'm prioritizing pet efficiency over experience efficiency. So that's the reason for me doing Murder Load Mine. It's, you know, AFK, really good pet rate and decent GP, you know, though I don't care much about the GP, it adds up nicely. Actually hit 38 mil mining XP during the podcast. So I'm currently 37 mil dry and rank 1 driest player for the mining pet, which is not something I'm proud of. And overall, yeah, main goals, I guess, for
Wait,
now,
is
finishing
that
off the skilling pets.
Is that an L for Hexus?
I think it's a W, dude.
Hmm.
I think that's a win. Talk about it with Zoidberg. He said it might be a win.
Is it a W or an L, Randy?
Too early to tell.
I mean, I've done 10 mil 3-tick granite. You know, I've been all over the place with mining. 10 mil granite, 17 mil gem rocks, and about 10 point something mil.
Were those all post Golem update?
All post Golem, yeah. I had 1 mil XP when Golem came out. And currently still, you know, trying to get the Golem. After that, probably Agility pet and then Runecrafting pet, and then back to PVMing. That's about it.
I've been also working at the RD rooftops this entire time, fletching throughout.
Hey, are you aware that World 46 is the official Agility rooftop world?
Is that a 2K Total World?
No. It's an American world, too, at that.
The official Agility training world in general.
Yeah.
All my way.
Yeah.
Better be that, too.
Yeah. 46 roofs. This is an announcement not just to Quaffle, but to the rest of the game. I tweet it out almost every day. World 46 roofs. Evil.
Holy crap, there's a lot of people here.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, the announcements are out. World 46 roofs, y'all.
This might stress me out. The world's not just me.
Alright, hold on. Let me take a look at my schedule here. We are at March 25th. No idea when the next podcast is going to be, boys. Look for it to be in about 2 or 3 weeks. Follow me on Twitter at RandaliciousRS. Follow the Hexus Twitter at Hexus for updates on when it is going to be. Timestamps will be added on to the upload of this as soon as possible. Brundine is a god. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We're going to watch the last few minutes of Dead Man.
Follow me on Twitter at NiceGuy98. Nice_Guy98. Come on, y'all. That's it.
Isn't your account locked?
Yeah, your tweets are protected. Who's going to follow?
What the hell?
Yeah, dude. Classified information.
I'm not going to follow him. I don't know what I'm getting myself into.
You don't want to know you're getting yourself into it. Jonas.
At NiceGuy98. Come on. Don't let me down, Twitch chat.
All right. See you guys later. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.